Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy!" The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. Oh, the sight I saw. Then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. I bow my knees and cry, "Holy, kind Holy." I cried, "Holy." I clap my hands and say, "Holy, glory to the Son." And as I entered the gates of that city, my loved ones, they knew me well. They took me down the streets of hell. I talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy, but I said, "Timothy,
glory,
I clap my hands.
Amen. I'd like to welcome all the listeners. This is Dr. Ventura's Sound Doctrine Broadcast coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California. Nice and sunny down here. Want to welcome you all around the world and just thank you for tuning in. And this evening, we have something special for you tonight. We have Brother Sam Burt and his wife Betsy. They're missionaries to Brazil, and that's the Federated Republic of Brazil. Amen. And we're going to talk a little bit about Brazil tonight and tell you what's going on there and what the missionaries are doing and what kind of prayers needed. And we have Brother Raymond co-hosting with us this evening, and we just thank the Lord. Amen. We have a wonderful opportunity here tonight to just relax. We'll run to about 6:30 Pacific time or 9:30 on the East Coast, and we'll take a little break, and then we'll get back to business as usual. Now let's start off, and we'll get us in with a prayer, and then we'll get this show going. I hope you're excited as we are. I want to thank all the listeners and supporters. I want to give you the phone number right up front. It's 347-945-5416. And I know we've had some technical difficulties in the back in the past, and Block Talk Radio's apologized, from what I understand, about some of the echoes and some of the other sounds we've had and some technical difficulties while they were upgrading. So if you can't get through tonight, there is a chat box, and you can chat live. And Nathan's there at the board. He'll pick you up, and he'll put you through if you call in. It's 347-945-5416, extension 1. And praise the Lord. Thank God we got through another week. Amen. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we just praise you, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity to praise you and to glorify your Son, Father God, and to speak of the glorious things that he's doing. Father, we ask you to bless the listeners and bless the co-host, bless Brother Burt and his wife, and God, that tonight you do something special, that you touch hearts, change minds, open ears, open eyes, and Father God, that you give the listeners a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Praise the Lord. Brother Raymond, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
Well, Brother Raymond, have you ever met Brother Burton?
No, I don't believe so.
Brother Burton?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing this evening?
Okay, we are doing well. Thank you very much.
My co-host tonight is Brother Raymond.
Okay, and, wonderful.
He says you haven't formally met, so I didn't want you to not know who you're talking to. Amen, brother?
Right.
Amen.
So, brother, what can you tell us about yourself? Introduce yourself a little bit, give us a little background, and we're willing to listen.
Okay. Well, let me just quickly, just say we were called to missionary work after college and seminary, and we got on a German freighter in New York Harbor with three little girls and headed for Argentina. And we got to Argentina and studied language and culture for a year in Buenos Aires. And then we went to Uruguay, crossed the river, La República Oriental del Uruguay, and we worked in church planting there for 6 years. And we had our fourth daughter, Ruthie, was born in Buenos Aires, and she's a missionary in Brazil. Our third daughter is a missionary in Brazil, married in Fortaleza. And so after 7 years down, we returned with seven children. And then in 1965, we went to the Amazon. We changed cultures and languages and climates and went to the Amazon River with our seven children. And we were on the Amazon River for 14 years. Right on the bank of the Amazon in church planting and teaching and discipling there. So we had a wonderful time. After that, we spent another 14 years down through Mexico in what we call theological education by extension, which grew from 80 students to 700 and then on to 1,200 down there in Mexico. And so the Lord has blessed us, and we adopted a Brazilian girl on the Amazon River. So we were there and right on the bank of the Amazon in church planting, and the Lord certainly blessed, and we praise his name for the work done there. So that's just a little bit of a background, but perhaps it would be interesting to know, too, that I was born in New York City of people who were in the theater, theatrical people, and went into the Second World War. And during the Battle of Okinawa, I came to the Lord Jesus by reading Gideon's New Testament. And then later on, the war ended, and I was in Philadelphia and was baptized in the Church of the Open Door in Philadelphia on April 4th, 1946. And so we are here continuing in discipleship ministry and so forth. So just a little bit background, perhaps that's okay, right?
Hey, amen. Amen. Amazing. Just I'm sitting here. Amazing. What do you think, brother? Brother Raven?
I think that's amazing. Amazing work. Lord is wonderful.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I'm looking at Romans here, chapter 15, verse 20 and 21.
Okay, yeah, I was just thinking that we remember what the needs are all over the world, but I just thought this was interesting, what the Apostle Paul said. He said, yeah, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. And even this was the Apostle Paul, but this is the desire of all missionaries and really all of us as evangelical Christians, true Bible-believing Christians, that we want to see others come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what is happening in Brazil. Perhaps it would be good for me to just give you a brief survey of what Brazil is about. Let me just start with the word Brazil. Now, we spell Brazil, B-R-A-Z-I-L, and so sometimes when you see somebody saying B-R-A-S-I-L, you think they are spelling Brazil wrong. But the S in Portuguese is like a Z, so it's Brazil, Brazil, and so just to clarify that, let me say that a lot of people don't understand where Brazil is or South America. Let me say that South America is actually, all of it is east, southeast of Florida and all of South America. And Brazil is half of the continent of South America. It is the fifth largest country in the world with the fifth largest population of 201 million people. It is a fantastic country. It is a mixture. It is a melting pot of races and ethnic groups and cultures, beginning, let's say, well, we could begin with a Portuguese, which Cabral, who was an explorer from Portugal, came in across the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and he actually ended up at the mouth of the Amazon River, and we were on the Amazon. And what happened was his sailors discovered fresh water 200 miles out into the sea from Belém, which is the mouth of the Amazon, and they found fresh water. So he really discovered in 1500 the mouth of the Amazon River. Now, let me just say while I'm on the Amazon that the Amazon is the greatest rainforest in the world and the greatest navigational system, actually, of rivers. There are rivers that go into the Amazon that are as large as the Mississippi River. And so it's a great river basin. The Amazon forest is almost as large as the continental United States. It begins with the snows up in Peru, and so every year the river rises 35 feet, goes up and down, and there's the floodwaters, and these waters push out into the Atlantic Ocean. That the mouth of the Amazon is 200 miles across, but there's an island there, Marajó, at the mouth of the Amazon. But it's a fantastic, and it was our privilege to evangelize and preach the gospel of Jesus on the Amazon River for 14 years, and so we praise the Lord for that. Let me just say, too, I'm talking about Brazil. It is a combination. There are ethnic groups. There are Portuguese and Spanish and Italian and Germans. The second largest Japanese population in the world is in Brazil. It is an absolutely fantastic, a fantastic country. And we can say it's a mixed races, too. There are what we call 38% mestizos and mulattoes. There are 275 indigenous tribal groups and with 185 different languages. And this, actually, the indigenous peoples through the years have been exploited by explorers and rubber barons and so forth. So after about probably close to 7 million indigenous peoples, there are only 700,000 tribal peoples remain. Literacy in Brazil is 89%. The economy is there are vast natural resources with huge labor force and a lot of agriculture, but there is a big gap between rich and poor, and it's a democracy. It got independence from Portugal in 1822 and became a federal republic in 1889. There was a military rule, first of all, as almost all the South American countries, but now it's a multi-party democracy. And so there are reforms, but there is just a big gap of necessity there in Brazil with the peoples. And so perhaps just that, before I get into the gospel in Brazil, how the gospel is going in Brazil, this gives you a little background of this fantastic country of people in Brazil. And so here, just a little word. I don't know if you have any questions.
Well, I was wondering, what's the population? I understand that there's a very large population.
Okay, the population is the fifth largest in the world. There's about 201 million people.
Imagine that.
And it's the fifth largest land area, too, in the world.
And brother, who was supporting you in your ministry? I mean, when you started out as a missionary, did you go out on deputation, or how did you start to fulfill your missionary call?
Well, I'll tell you what, brothers, we belonged to really a mission that was kind of more European and was patterned after Hudson Taylor, who was the great missionary to China. It was called the New Testament Missionary Union, more from Europe, and the South American Missionary Union that began about in 1902. And so our mission, we endeavored to live by faith completely without making our needs known, even as a request for prayer. So we had we lived that way, and so we never really did a deputation to try and raise money or support. But the Lord took care of us. It was kind of an interesting concept. You didn't have anything, but you didn't owe anything.
Amen.
So we didn't have any insurance or something. But on the Amazon, we were friends with the doctors, and the Lord took care of us. And my dear wife Betsy, fantastic lady with these 8 kids going up and down the Amazon River, and the Lord just took care of us and blessed us in every way in that way. So we didn't have that experience. And even down in Mexico, later on, while we had people, churches, and individuals that supported us through the Tecate mission, which is down on the border. And so we didn't do deputation, but churches and individuals supported us down in our work in Mexico.
Hey, man. What do you think of that, Brother Raymond? Hey, Brother Raymond?
Yes, I'm here. That's amazing. Yeah, it is.
Well, let me ask you this. You have 2 daughters, you said, that are down there. They've been there for what? How long have they been there?
All right. Both of them have been there approximately 30 years. The first one, Kathy Stowell, is married to Dan Stowell, and they live in Fortaleza, Brazil, and they are in church planting ministry and counseling ministry there. And they've been down in that area for about 30 years. And actually, it's kind of interesting. I could bring this up right now. As you know, the World Cup is coming up in July. And the World Cup of Soccer, and this is futebol. And it's hard for us a little bit to understand what this is all about, but it's the one great international sport. And so Brazil, of course, is hosting this, and they have spent a lot of money on 12 stadiums. And this has caused some reaction with the poor people because these stadiums are being refurbished and with billions of dollars. And in 2 years, Brazil is also supposed to host the Summer Olympics. So there's a great disparity between the rich and poor. But Kathy and Dan are in church planting there in Fortaleza. Ruthie and her co-worker Claudia have worked among the deaf in Brazil, and until they established a deaf church that has a deaf pastor in Petrolina, and then they are in children's work. There's two kind of windows. Many in missions know about the 1040 window, which is the 10 degrees latitude and 40 degrees that goes across the Middle East and includes most Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists. But there's also what we call the 414 window, which means children. And Ruthie and Claudia have written a children's program that is being used by 30 churches, and they are working on it to revise it. It is a fantastic program, something like Awana, but a little bit deeper than that in memorization and in scriptures. And they've been working on us for 4 years and deal with every book of the Bible. So they have been working in children's work with seminars, and that's what they are doing now too. And but it's just amazing when we think that actually most people come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior when about 80% people are saved in that 414 window. And so become Christians, 80% become Christians when they're in their childhood, children's. And so a lot of times we put the children's work on the bottom of the totem pole, but really Claudia and Ruthie have started a couple churches by beginning with the children, and then the parents are converted and so forth. So it's a good church planting effort. They were also able to go to Mozambique. They got a team of 28 Brazilians who paid all their own way and went over to Mozambique. There are five countries that speak Portuguese in Africa, and Mozambique is one of them. And they went over there, and fantastic. There was a construction team. There were ministry teams and 400 children over there in Mozambique. One of the poorest, if not the poorest, country in Africa. Very interesting thing, Mozambique. So this is what our two daughters are doing.
Let me ask you this, brother, not to interrupt you. You say the 414 window you're speaking about, children. What's the percentage of the population of children under 15?
Okay, that is a very good question. Thank you for asking the question. In Brazil, it's about 26%, 15 and under. And so it is a great mission field. Now we know Brazil is such a mosaic of peoples and ethnic groups and cultures, and there's a lot of poverty. Tens of millions are in poverty, and so there's many people have heard of the favelas out of Rio and Rio de Janeiro. Rio has about 12 million people. São Paulo is 20 million people. Brasilia, the capital that they tried to move in there, is 4 million people. But they have these favelas, which means these poor people hanging on in shanty towns on the big cities. We have poor here, but we don't have poor like they have poor. And these favelas, and so there's a seedbed of crime. One of the things I have here, I have prayer requests, challenges for prayer, poverty that still affects people. Crime is a serious problem, but Brazil is a spiritually open country. There's separation between church and state, and there's false gospels like the prosperity gospel too. And so these are some of the things that are there in Brazil. But there is a lot of poverty, and crime is a problem, because of this disparity and these gangs. I was surprised to read that there are 600 favelas in Rio. That means these little gang groups of young people and kids, and just a lot. You have to be careful. We've been through Rio de Janeiro. It's kind of interesting. In 1990, we were there for the World Cup, and then in 2010, we were in Germany because we have a son there teaching on a military base. We were in Germany at the World Cup. And this World Cup, what we want to pray is that there are a lot of teams going down there to do evangelism and discipleship during these World Cup games. And as I say, there are 12 stadiums. There's a big stadium in Fortaleza, and Fortaleza itself has 3 million people, and it has a crime problem. But almost, the crime kind of thing is worldwide. We realize that, but... So these are some of the facts about Brazil.
Amen. Well, that's very interesting. I'm curious as to maybe you could share a couple of memorable experiences that something that stayed on your heart and mind. It's an exceptional experience, something the Lord did there. And
well, yeah.
So many things you could probably fill books with them, I'm sure.
Well, we've had an awful lot of experiences there in Brazil, that's for sure, and some of them kind of scary and on the great Amazon. But when you live there, the old flood of the Amazon just gets in your blood. And one time we were visiting down there, and we got on the Amazon in a canoe, and we just cried to be back on the Amazon. You know, we were in a little town called Parintins on the bank of the Amazon, and then there were 5 congregations in the interior lakes and so forth. We have an experience when all 10 of us were in this flat-bottom boat with a 3-horsepower Briggs Stratton motor, and putt-putt and got caught in an Amazonic storm, and we're going in to visit these believers in an interior group. And the Lord, we thought we were goners, but the Lord brought us through this storm on the Amazon, and a lot of experience. But the blessed thing is to see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have baptisms. We have pictures of this on Lake Mocambo, and one time we were in there for the July. What they do is they planted jute in August and harvested in June, and then July was a free month. So we went into this interior lake for 3 weeks and 6 hours a day ministering to the people. But out of that group, we had this baptism with seven fellows in the same family. The thing that has been a blessing is to see that there's a guy named Valsiges, who's down there right now, and he went to Bible Institute up there in Manaus, and he's ministering in one of them, and he was one of those fellows. And so what is good, of course, as you realize, and we all realize, is seeing people come to the Lord and then discipling them. And that's been basically my ministry too, is preaching, teaching, but discipling. And that is so thrilling. So here, this is 30 years ago, and this fella is, from one of those on there, but others have from that, those 7 guys who were baptized, right, to see them going on and carrying the gospel, praise the Lord, and the work among indigenous peoples, too.
Amen. Amen. Brother, Brother Raymond.
Yes.
Imagine going down to the Amazon. When I think of the Amazon, what do you think of? I think of those boa snakes. I'm scared of snakes.
Yeah, I think of big, thick jungle.
Well, you think of piranhas. Piranhas.
Yeah.
Piranhas.
Yeah, piranhas.
Oh,
yeah
the piranhas, too.
Right.
My goodness.
Well, we tried to eat them before they ate us.
Yeah, I hear you. Brother Burton, let me ask you this question. How much opposition do you face from, say, other faiths as you're preaching the gospel? Is there a hostility down there towards the gospel?
Well, I'll tell you what. Brazil is amazing. The gospel has grown tremendously in Brazil, and there's a great movement of people coming to the Lord. And so there's freedom of religion and separation of church and state. And even though it was considered a Catholic country, but the influence of the what they call the evangelicos continues to grow. And so the figure that we have is something like 26% are Bible believing Christians, born again Christians, and it is one of the largest evangelical population in the world. So it depends on where you are. Now on the Amazon, when we were there, and we were there years ago, we had some opposition from the Catholics. Actually, there were several groups in different cities. There were German priests in one city and Canadian in another, and charismatic and so forth. But what happened in our little town? I had some confrontations there and oppositions, and with the bishop, because we had a bishop in our little town, and so there was opposition. I sometimes say this is a kind of a deal. There was a lady, her son was going to be baptized in the Amazon River. We're going to have a baptism, and his mother chased him around with a revolver because he was going to be baptized. And what happens, of course, is you come to the Lord Jesus, but baptism does not save us, of course, as we know, but yet we're to obey the Lord in being baptized. And baptism is a separation. It's separation sometimes with families. And so you can believe in Jesus, but don't get too serious about it, see? And so when you get serious about it, well, then you do get opposition. And so then there's opposition, too, from false cults also. But we had some of that confrontational thing there with several times. And some threats. I had threats against my life that they were going to get me. And they were when we visited these interior groups and their word came around. One time I was down there in the summer of 55, I think, or 56. And I was down there in an interior place, and we were in a kind of a pool hall thing. But there's no electric lights and just these kerosene lamps around, and so it's all dark outside, and there was a threat that they were going to shoot me and so forth. And so it's kind of amazing, you know, what was I going to do? Not preach in this place? Now, I was a dead duck as far as that, because the walls only went up halfway, and these kerosene lamps, wicks around, and all dark outside. But the Lord gave strength, and you kind of say, hey, that doesn't mean you're going to run away. You just have to go through and continue to preach the word of God, and nothing happened, so praise the Lord. But, you know, I'm talking to you, so nothing happened.
Amen. When's the last time that you've made a trip down to Brazil? When was the last time you were in Brazil?
Well, I tell you, we went down there over Christmas vacation. We went down there on December 17th, came back about January. We spent over 3 weeks with our daughter Ruthie down in the interior of Brazil in a place that's an agricultural center. And this is kind of interesting. It's a high plateau. It's 800 meters or about 2,500 feet agricultural. What happened was, some German gauchos, they call them, came in and bought up the land, and there's agriculture where they raise soybean and cotton and corn and coffee, and so it's a truck stop, and this is grown to 185,000 now, but it's a truck stop, and it's just only half of it is paved, but you have workers from five different states of Brazil coming in, and so there's nobody out of work because it's only about 12 years, 12, 15 years old, and it's an agricultural basin. And so this is the big product of Brazil. They have the breadbasket of the world, shall we say. They have agriculture. And so that's where Ruthie and Claudia have been working the last 4 years. So we visited down there. I tried to get back into my Portuguese, and so I got to preach a couple of times. But I'm more into Spanish at the moment, so that was a challenge. But we had a wonderful time there, this is a place about 6 hours from north of Brasilia in a city called Bahia. Brazil has 26 provinces and so forth. It's absolutely a huge country, and you travel and. This road, Ruthie was a fantastic driver with a little Fiat and going up these two-lane roads with trucks on it. We were just down there recently, and it was just so good to get back to Brazil.
Are there modern, are there modern highways? When you say two-lane roads, or what?
There are modern highways, and, between... São Paulo and Rio and Santos down there on the coast, the Atlantic coast, and there are some good four-way highways and so forth. It just happens that from north of Brasilia up in north of Brasilia, there just happens to be this highway. It's well paved. It's a good paved highway, but it doesn't have any shoulders. And of course, you experience this sometimes in Mexico and. Hardly ever in the United States, where you have trucks, and so you're always passing trucks, and so it's a dangerous highway, that particular highway. But no, there are good highways also in Brazil, and some of them are. It depends because the state, just like in our country a little bit, why you go from state to state, and you can notice the highways from one state to another state.
right.
And travel. There's all sorts of kind of travel down there, and one thing that is because of this is a little bit of reaction of the poor people and so forth, and students are always rebelling against this or that or whatever. And what we don't realize is that students in other countries, they have political power. They can really really cause a lot of trouble. Students in other countries, because there's not just an infrastructure, but there's the matter of education and the medical facilities in Brazil, and so there's a great gap there, and transportation, and at the moment, why Brazil has a woman president, and she's a socialist, really. And these socialist presidents, they try to help the poor and so forth, but it's a kind of a mixture. So Brazil has a real poverty problem, and it's just like any country of the world. What makes a country a democracy is the middle class, because you have rich and you have poor, but the middle class is large, and that's when the United States is different than a lot of countries, because even in the democracies of other countries, the middle class is still poor, is still small. So you have a rich, you have the middle class, and you have a more poor third of the country, poor people, and we're talking people that are subsistence living, really. So these are some of the challenges there.
Hey man, I understand that. What would you say? It's separation church and state. I mean, have you run into governmental problems? I mean, do you need a permit to preach or to plant a church down there, or do they, in some countries are meeting in the woods to avoid
Right. Well, that's true. No, actually, I should mention this, that even though Catholicism is losing ground in Brazil. And there's just a big evangelical movement of the preaching of the gospel. So as I said, there's 26%, which is a large percentage of in any country of Bible believing Bible-believing Christians. And now, in any individual town, why you can get opposition from the priests and so forth. But the government pretty much takes that position. Now, what is underlying in Brazil is Spiritism. Now, you have it mixed in with Catholicism is what we call Spiritism. And probably the largest religion in Brazil is Spiritism. Now, this comes over from the African slaves and voodoo and so forth. And there's what we call Macumba. And Macumba, there's the there's a witchcraft kind of Spiritism. And then there's a high-class Spiritism. So almost any Catholic in high positions is also a Spiritist. So Spiritism is strong. And
well, let me ask you this. Do they have Santeria there? I know that's another island belief that, you know, came across from Africa, also a type of spiritualism.
What? You mention
it's
that
called,
again.
It's called Santeria.
What?
Santeria. It's, you know, they have deities that they pray to. What I understand is that when they got to, when they brought the people from Africa into Cuba and even the United States and other countries, they brought this religion with them. But what they would do was they would take, because most of the slave owners that had them were into Catholicism, that they would take the pictures of the priests, of the saints, and they would make their masters think that they were praying to those saints, but really each one of those saints had a deity their deity.
Yeah, definitely. Where Kathy and Dan worked before, our daughter Kathy, another place, they had this page, this priest that had a statue in the town like Christ the Redemptor down there in Rio. And this big, great big statue of this priest, and so you these people went on their knees and everything up just like they do in up to Christ the Redeemer, but in other towns. But this was a priest that was worshipped. Oh yeah, and so you have so much mixture, and Spiritism. What happened was too that the they had African slaves that were brought over to Brazil in Salvador and those places, and they were 80% of the population, but they got emancipation before the United States did.
Wow.
And so one time I was down there and spent with a brother I took from the United States, and there was no intimidation because we went into a restaurant, and people from Africa, they were in the majority, and so there was no sense of intimidation or problem. And but about, as we read here, about 38% of the population are caboclos or mestizos, and they also have the tendency to be in the poor class. And with less education and so forth. So and they therefore are part of that Flavela population also in the cities. But there's all sorts of different kinds of the voodoo thing from Africa, and so it's kind of mixed up their Spiritism. And of course, when you come to the Lord, when you're saved, why you come out of all of that, you know? You come out of that, and you're saved by Jesus, by the blood of Christ on the cross, and you come to the Lord, and people begin teaching you about these things. So, so you don't have what we call a syncretism in the religion of the believers, right? But there's a big need for leadership training, also in Brazil.
Well, let me just interrupt you here, brother, for a minute, and let me give that number here. It's 347-945-5416, and you're welcome to call in And I know a lot of people don't like to call in, and they email and they blog and say that, you know, we're shy. We're shy. Don't be shy. Call in. Brother Burton doesn't bite. Amen. And you can reach Brother Burton, where if somebody was interested in Brazil or interested in the ministry or interested in having you speak somewhere for them about missionaries or needed some information, how would they reach you?
Well, they can anytime. I'm here in Chula Vista, and we have two numbers. Our telephone number is 619-427-1944. That is 619-427-1944. And so in any way we can help. And all of us are in a position where we say, Lord, here am I, send me. We're open to the Lord, and we're trying to apply a Romans 12, 1 and 2 into our lives as a living sacrifice. And I often used to say, I've also taught up at the seminary and college up in El Cajon, and so I've been teaching in the seminary there also in the college for 28 years, mostly missions courses, cultural anthropology and world religions and church history. I did have a privilege of teaching cultural anthropology over in Seville, Spain. And an interesting statement is there are many reasons. Here's a good statement. There are many reasons why not to become a missionary, but unwillingness is not one of them.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And so,
I think I have a caller calling in. Well, is there a caller there, Nathan?
Amen, amen. This is Brother Brown, amen. I just wanted to say I'm enjoying the broadcast. As always, Doc, you always bring it in. I just wanted to salute you, sir, also for the work you're doing overseas, amen. I'm definitely pleased to hear all you're doing, amen, and that you got a heart to go after the lost. So I just wanted to salute you and say we're definitely enjoying the broadcast.
Well, amen, brother. This is Brother D.L. Works in conjunction with Nathan on the spot, John Hill. You know, I met these people down. I preached in one of the churches down in Orangeburg last year, and they're Brother Burton, Brother Raymond knows Brother D.L., and I want to thank him. He's given us this gift spot. You know, this is a guest spot here on the Enterprisement Media slot, and, you know, Brother D.L. gave us this spot for Thursday night so that we could bring forth sound doctrine, and he's really given us a lot of, unlike other producers and managers and presidents of corporations, he's given us all the leeway we can use and to preach the gospel in its fullest extent, unfettered, and you don't find that often, so we're really grateful for that.
Let me give a thought here about Brazil and missions. This is a suggestion for all of us as believers. First of all, here, do you, and I'm speaking to the audience out there, do you personally know any missionaries in Brazil? If you do, pray for them, support them, write them, invite them to your church, and all for the glory of the Lord, right? And what you want to do is your church congregation, the pastor, we have discovered this too through the years, that if a pastor is not missionary-minded in a local body of believers, then missions does not go in that local church. The pastor has to have a vision of not just nurturing his own people and winning people locally, but also what God is doing in carrying the gospel to the ends of the earth, kind of a Acts 1:8 thing.
Amen. And brother, and that's very important. I don't think that people really realize the sacrifice that missionaries are making. I don't think they really understand that, you know, especially it's hard on children. You know, because you're raised in, say, you were raised in Brazil, and then you, you may come, you know, you're, but you're, a, you know, you come back to the United States, and while you're there, people don't understand. Sometimes there's loneliness, there's a heart desire to come back home and to what's familiar. And,
right, that
and
is
I
true.
Think that what you're saying is important, not only financial support and prayer support, but it's good to write letters to missionaries.
Exactly.
You know, for what we can send them amenities that they probably aren't going to get down there, or, you know, things from home that, you know, a small package wouldn't hurt either. Amen, yeah. Brother?
Another thing, dear audience, is that go on a short missionary trip. Go on a two-week missionary trip. Get on a construction team. Go down and to Mexico. Go any place and on a missions trip. And you're going on a short mission trip, and the Lord will bless you, and your life will be changed by visiting Indonesia, some mission trip. And some of these mission organizations, they have those kind of programs where you can go on a short-term missions trip. And that is such a blessing, too, you know.
You know, Brother Burton, you mentioned a mission field. And I remember one time Peter and I were having a conversation, and we were unable to reach the mission field. And Peter looked and he said, well, we may not be able to get to the mission field, but God has brought the mission field to us.
Absolutely.
There's been times where we've been able to preach the gospel in places that I just would never think possible. But also, there's an important need in this country as well, even in our local communities, for missionaries. You know, just, I guess you would call them domestic missionaries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to preach the gospel, just go out there and to do some witnessing and some planting, because
The
big word of
challenge
God.
For the big challenge for all of us is to get out of our comfort zone.
Amen.
There's a kind of statement that life begins when you leave your comfort zone.
Right. Amen.
Well,
another thing that's amazing is when I was hearing you talk, and when you first went to Brazil, you talked about you really had nothing and nobody really supported you. And that in itself is a witness of the power of God. I mean, to be able not only for your protection, but also to provide you your needs. As it is said in his word, that he shall provide all your needs according to his riches and glory through Jesus Christ. So, you know, I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing story. It's very encouraging. It's been a real blessing to me to hear you speak, and just is very heart-provoking. You know, very, very dear thing to me, too, to go out and preach the gospel.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for all of you there.
Let me ask you this, brother. You have a short song in Portuguese for us?
Okay. Let me just tell you this one. Okay. What this means is he who has Jesus has everything. He who does not have Jesus has nothing. But
amen.
Let's see. And but who has Jesus? Has heaven. He has a dwelling place. Whoever loves this world, you know, will not be in heaven. You know, but he who has Jesus Christ in heaven, he has a dwelling place. And so this is kind of how this goes. Okay. Okay. Let's see. King ting Jesus ting tu du King now ting nada Mas king ting Jesus Christu No seu já ting morada King ama este mundo Lá no seu não ting nada Mas king ting Jesus Christu No seu já ting morada.
Amen. Well, thank you.
Little
brother.
Portuguese. Portuguese is nasal. For example, Spanish has tambien, and Portuguese tambing, tambing. It's nasal.
Ah.
It's different.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate it. We're almost out of time, but I appreciate it, Brother Nye, and I hope to have you back. I hope to have you back. And next time you're down in Brazil, we'll see if we can get you live from Brazil. right there. And maybe you can get your daughters to do a little talking next. Tell us what's going on with the children there. You know, they're working with the deaf. They've written children's books and children's studies. And that's
a
wonderful thing.
It's being used in 30 churches down there. Yeah.
Amazing, isn't it?
Well, it's not likely that we'll do much of this. I'm 87 and my wife is 86, and we're hanging in there.
Well, I tell you, brother, the last time I shook your hand wasn't too long ago, and it was a strong, firm hand. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Hey, brother.
Well, thank you, brother, for coming along, and we appreciate that. And I'm going to let Brother Raymond pray us out, and then we're, you know, make an altar call and ask, you know, somebody listening, if you know, maybe they want to rededicate their life or something. I'm going to let Brother Raymond pray that, and then close us out in prayer. And we'll be certain to talk with you again. We thank you for the wonderful message, brother.
Amen. First, I'd like to sing a little something here. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord. We just ask that you would just bless those that have heard, that you would open up their word, open up their heart to your word, that they would receive the gospel of Christ. Lord, for it is the only saving power on this earth. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would just bless Brother Burton, that you would continue to give him a door of utterance, that you would just continue to protect him, to protect his daughters, to give his daughters further utterance in Brazil, Lord. Lord, in all the things that Brother Peter has done in his ministry, we just ask that you give some growth and just give us the increase, Lord. Lord, we just pray for just one soul today, Lord, to just reach out and to accept Christ. And we know that we have them all to accept Christ. But just one, Lord, just this one today, Lord. And we just ask that you would just continue doing your powerful works, providing us with your needs, just giving us joy, giving us peace, and a sound mind. And thank you for giving us your sound doctrine, for it has made us sound in mind. And we just pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. We thank you, Brother Burton, and we were glad
thank
you could join us.
Thank
you, Brother Raymond, Brother D.L., Brother Nathan. I want to thank Scott and Angelica. I want to thank my wife, Marilyn, for supporting me. You know, it takes a lot of time sometimes in ministry, and, you know, you don't get to spend as much time as you need to, but you know you're loved, and she supports us and prays for us, and I just want to thank her. I want to thank Nicole and Sherry and Savannah and JP, you know, from our youth group, and Lil Aiden, and, you know, they all pray for this program, Kitty and Fred, and Brother Andy in North Carolina or South Carolina, right out of Chester. He's an evangelist, so we usually have him on. And so we appreciate all the prayers from around the world, and we thank you all for listening this evening. Tune in next week. Dr. Ventura will bring you sound doctrine as the Lord allows. Lord willing, if we don't catch you then, we'll catch you in the by and by. Lord bless you and have a good evening. Brother Nathan?
Put those hands together all across the building tonight. Let the devil know that you're encouraged. Let him know that you're encouraged. Let him know. Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, but somebody may be crying, but I come to let you know that God can make it all right. It's impossible to see, but God is gonna work it out. If God delivered Daniel, guess what? He'll do the same for you, 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 you. Just a test of your faith. So stand strong and dry your weeping eyes. Cause joy comes in the morning and everything is gonna be alright.
Standing on.